Would you give us a hint as to how much?
If I could reserve maybe 3 minutes?
That'll be fine.
Okay, that sounds great. Judge, first I would like to just respond. I believe the Commonwealth is correct about one of the items in their return brief, that the case for actual innocence was not preserved. The Mr. Frost did refer in his motion to strike and closing to a mistake, and I think that that the Commonwealth is correct about that. That leaves me to argue the fact that the judge refused to strike the reckless driving to improper and then refused to give the
How do you get around the Chippecum case?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That seems to pretty much tie our hands as to how to deal with that particular code section.
Well, in the Chippecum case, the Chippecum case is so incredibly narrow compared to the case that was heard in Stafford County. The Chippecum case talks in many places about strict liability. And in fact, the Commonwealth referred in their brief to strict liability in the sense that if there's a mechanical defect, that would be a strict liability.
Well, the statute here, let me focus you a little bit in your argument.
Sure.
The statute here permits either the trial court, the court, or the Commonwealth attorney to reduce a charge like this to improper driving. Now, Chivicum essentially says that that's not something the legislature places in the province of the jury. It's not a lesser included offense, which would then be appropriate for the jury to consider whether or not the elements are there for it. Basically, it's a mercy provision, if you will, exercise in the discretion of either the trial court and or the Commonwealth attorney that permits the charge to be reduced to an offense, not a lesser included offense, but a lesser offense, if the court feels that's the appropriate thing to do. So the argument on appeal is that should have gone to the jury, and I'm trying to figure out how you get around the Chivicum case, which says that's not what
Yes,
the
and the Chivicum case is very specific in that it references reckless driving by speed. Reckless driving by speed was not indicted. When you look at the reckless driving statute, there are two ways to be reckless driving.
Well, Judge Alston was wrote that opinion, and so you can, of course,
certainly.
But I mean, his rationale was quite clear. The it simply doesn't apply to reckless driving by speed because the purpose behind the code section is obviously inapplicable to that peculiar situation. Whereas opposed to, I mean, reckless driving takes many, many forms. And you could read Chivicum for, for a lot of things, one of which is, you're right, it applies to the fact that the mercy provision of section 46.2869 doesn't apply to reckless driving by speed. And that's not what we have here, but it also makes the point that it's not within the jury's province to consider mercy in that sense. That's the trial court and or the prosecutor's province.
Well, Judge, the what was argued specifically preserved by Mr. Frost in both the closing argument and also the both motions to strike is that the court in the motions to strike and then the jury, when you're talking about closing, should be able to consider degrees of culpability. That's where you get...
But degrees of culpability is a term of art that is enshrined in lesser included offenses, of which this is not.
Well, Chivicum says that in reckless driving by speed, you don't look at degrees of culpability. And what I'm arguing is, what about when it's not reckless driving by speed? This is a case where he veered in, by all accounts, it took maybe 2 seconds, veered into the other lane and struck a vehicle. And this was what the cause of that was and whether it was a momentary decision, if that was reckless driving or improper driving, that is degrees of culpability. That was specifically argued in the motion to strike, which would allow the judge to make the finding of improper driving. That was one opportunity for, that was one thing that was argued was to asking the judge. That was a point where the judge was specifically asked to, and that is allowed by the code, to strike it to improper driving rather than reckless. And then you have the situation where the jury instruction was to try to get the jury to consider degrees of culpability, because degrees of culpability is important when it's not reckless driving by speed. And Chivicombe says reckless driving by speed, reckless driving by speed, reckless driving by speed. This is a case about reckless driving by speed. When you read it, that's what it says. That's what it's about.
I get that.
Okay.
Now, I think we all get that by now. But the point is, the statute says what it says. And it says, notwithstanding the foregoing provisions of this article, upon the trial of any person charged with reckless driving, where the degree of culpability is slight, the court, in its discretion, may find the accused not guilty of reckless driving, but guilty of improper driving. And then it goes on to say the Commonwealth Attorney can do it, too, if it does so before the verdict is in, essentially. And I guess the question is, why is this a jury question if the statute specifically reserves it for the court?
Well, it doesn't specifically preclude, it doesn't mention it. It's silent. And whenever there is a lesser included is something that doesn't contain an additional element. And Chivicombe says if it's reckless driving by speed, then it is an additional element. But if it's reckless driving for
some other... Here's the language that gives me pause from Chivicombe. And I know you want to restrict it to just speed, and that certainly was the context of it, but it says, had the legislature intended to permit the jury to make the lesser degree of culpability determination under Code Section 426.2869, it could have included that the language to reflect that intent. So it seems to me that's a pretty broad statement that applies not just to reckless driving by speed, but to any form of reckless driving.
Well, Judge, I think that perhaps what I'm arguing is an argument for the change in the law.
Well, shouldn't that be the legislature that does that?
Well, this is, if it doesn't rise to the level of reckless driving, because of the degrees of culpability, then the jury should be able to consider the degrees of culpability.
Did you represent the defendant at the lower level?
Actually, that was Mr. Frost.
Okay. Do you recall who requested the jury, you or Commonwealth?
Because it's Stafford County, I'm very confident that it was the Commonwealth that requested the jury.
We'll probably take judicial notice of that at this point.
Okay. All right. Now, I understand that there are certain other provisions that allow judges to do things that defendants and prosecutors can't ask them to do. For instance, a judge, as a matter of grace, can grant probation. A jury can't do that. So one would argue that you've given something to the judge that the jury can't do. There are other provisions in the trespass statutes, I believe, where you can sort of do some sort of deferred finding. A jury can't do that. These are certain specific provisions that allow judges in the exercise of their discretion to do things that juries cannot do. So for us to get to the point that you're trying to get us to reach, we would have to essentially give the jury a permission to do something that the legislature has not recognized that they have the prerogative to do.
Well, and all of the items that you're talking about, it requires someone supervising, or there's some additional work to be done after the jury has dispersed and gone home. But here, you're talking about the nature of the offense and what the criminal charges. This isn't requiring the jury or someone to supervise someone or to put them on EIP. This is whether they are what their degree of culpability is an important issue.
But let's take a look at that. Just for comparison purposes, take a look at 18.2-91 and 18.2-95 that permit a reduced punishment in the discretion of the jury or the court trying the case without a jury. In other words, the legislature in 91 and 95 has specifically recognized that in those particular instances identified by statute, the jury can do something that you're asking us to do in the context of this prosecution. So how do we reconcile that the legislature gives us in 91 and 95 with what the legislature has not given us in 46.2852 or 869?
Well, Judge, I don't know, other than the fact that it was something that was left out, and certainly it isn't included in there that the jury cannot. I know that's the decision of Chivicombe, but Chivicombe only addresses the driving by speed, which is a strict liability offense. Mm-hmm. And so
Well, that's because if you're driving 20 miles or more over the speed limit, you can't get to slight culpability.
Right.
when that's the nature of the reckless driving. But hypothetically, if the reckless driving were predicated on an unsafe lane change, for example.
Yes.
And it was evidence was that you had a very inexperienced driver or something. The trial court could certainly exercise its mercy and utilize this particular statute to reduce it to improper driving. I think that's what's contemplated in this situation. But as Judge Alston just pointed out, the General Assembly knows how to phrase statutes if they want juries to do something, and they didn't mention the word jury here.
Well, I'd also like to point out, while I have the opportunity, that this argument was made also to the judge to strike the charge from the reckless to the improper driving, based on the fact that it was a few seconds lane change, and I think that issue is still preserved. And I can argue it today that...
Well, assuming it was, I mean, it's clearly the statute contemplates discretion. It uses the word in the discretion of the court. And so the standard on appeal would have to be abuse of discretion.
Yes.
Which means you're not entitled to it. Just because you ask doesn't mean you get it. It's discretionary with the court.
Yes. And Judge, I would like to point out a few things about that. In the Powers case, which the Commonwealth has argued is not germane to this case, they're arguing that the speed is an issue because of the distance that the car has traveled, the level of damage, and that can be considered when you're talking about what the speed of the vehicle was. But in the Powers case, there is a case where there was an impressions in the road for a distance of over 840 feet before it veered off the east side of the highway, struck and debarked into trees 20 feet apart. And the court in that case found that was not, it says, the Commonwealth argues since they traveled in an erratic course more than 900 feet and struck into trees with such a force, the motor was wrenched from it, defendant was thrown in the car, reckless driving may be inferred, we do not agree. And so in this case, there were no skid marks before the accident, there were yaw marks after the accident. But this is the Powers case is where there was quite a path left, and the court declined to infer reckless driving. They declined to make a decision about the speed of the vehicle, which is different than what the Commonwealth argues in their reply brief. Also, they argue in their reply brief about the road conditions. And in fact, the officer testified that there was no standing water in the location of, even though it had been raining on and off throughout the day, there was no standing water in that location. And then the Commonwealth's witness, the survivor from the other car, testified that there were normal road conditions. And so there are a number of things that are the same as this case with the Powers case. And the
Counsel,
only thing...
can I ask you a question? Under the improper driving, the requirement of slight culpability, isn't that an element that is not required for the general reckless driving statute?
Well, Judge, what I'm arguing is that it's degrees of culpability. So the slight culpability is improper. The more egregious, without regard for life and limb, is the reckless. And so that is what is inclusive. It's a degree of, for reckless driving by speed, strict liability, you don't get into a mens rea. You don't get into degrees of culpability. But between reckless and improper, it's degrees of culpability. There is a mens rea. One half of the reckless statute, there's no mens rea. This one that I'm arguing today, there is a mens rea, and it's those degrees. And so you take the degree of improper and raise it, and then you have reckless. And that's what I'm arguing, is why this was a case where the judge should have reduced it to improper. And based on my arguments that the jury was not allowed to consider, even though the Chibicom case actually refers to reckless by speed.
So your argument, it sounds like it, that this really is a lesser included offense.
Yes.
Despite anything else.
Yes, it is. That's correct.
All right. We've got just a little bit of time left in the rebuttal. Mr. Sandoval?
Get to go back over. Hey, you have to endure his argument.
Yeah. you don't get to walk. If we have to sit through it, you have to sit through it.
May it please the court and counsel, my name is Chris Sandoval. I represent the Commonwealth as the appellee in this appeal. While I recognize at the outset that I personally probably have very little to add to this particular panel's understanding of Chibicom, with two members of the three-member panel sitting on this panel before us, I would like to submit...
So you're saying you got a pat hand right now and you don't want to mess it up?
Well, essentially, it should be an easy argument to win that this...
I don't know.
Two members of this panel were correct a couple years ago when they decided Chibicom. But that's the argument that I'm making. And if I could, I'd like to submit for this court the Commonwealth's understanding of what the court did in Chibicom. On the last couple of pages of that opinion, pages 426 through 427, I would submit that the court essentially made either two separate but related alternative holdings or provided two separate but related alternative bases for the court's holding there. Maybe this is why some of the confusion has arisen. The first of those two holdings or two bases was that improper driving is not a lesser included offense of reckless driving by speed. And there the court does talk about reckless driving by speed specifically. Now, the Commonwealth would argue that the same reasoning which led the court to that conclusion in Chibicom should lead the court to the same conclusion in this case before us. Because, again, just like there, every conviction and every commission of reckless driving by speed was not going to also be a commission of improper driving, here the same is true. Every commission of reckless driving generally is not going to also be a commission of improper driving. And then secondly, slight culpability is an additional element which was not which is not present in the reckless driving by speed statute, and similarly it's not present in the reckless driving general statute.
Let me interrupt you if I can. Yes. I'm looking at the text of the statute, which begins with the following language. Notwithstanding the foregoing provisions of this article, that clearly obviously refers to the elements of reckless driving.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me that phrase, notwithstanding the foregoing provisions of this article, is what the General Assembly is essentially saying there is, even though you might have done all the things that would convict you of reckless driving, if the trial court believes or the Commonwealth believes the degree of culpability is slight, you can reduce it. Would it be fair to say that that phrase that I just read is what really mandates that this is not a lesser included offense because it presupposes that you've satisfied all the elements of the greater offense of reckless driving?
I think that's right, Your Honor, and I think based on the court's reasoning in Chibicom, in addition, that phrase, slight culpability, does constitute an additional element. If it constitutes an additional element in the context of reckless driving by speed in Chibicom, by the same reasoning, it constitutes an additional element
well,
here.
Well, and I guess that brings up what's the term culpability mean? I mean, that's, you know, the culpability is legal responsibility, essentially. I think it's a synonym for legal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's slight, I mean, in this case, a person died,
right.
I suspect that was a factor in the trial court's denial of any motion to utilize this statute under these particular circumstances. But the term culpability is a legal term of art, so it means what lawyers generally think it means, which to me
blameworthy.
Blameworthy. Thank you. That's the better. I think the better. Single word definition. So if you're only slightly blameworthy in the sense that the damage you cause is relatively insignificant, notwithstanding meeting all the other elements of reckless driving, this remedy is available should the Commonwealth or the trial court choose to exercise.
Correct, Your Honor. And opposing counsel has attempted to distinguish the reckless driving by speed statute from the reckless driving generally statute by saying that reckless driving by speed is a strict liability statute, but I would submit that reckless driving by speed involves a level of culpability and blameworthiness. If you're traveling 80 miles an hour or above, you're culpable and you're blameworthy, so I don't think you can distinguish between the two in this context. And getting to the court's, what I'm calling a second holding or alternative basis for its opinion in Chibicom, this is one which does not distinguish between reckless driving by speed or general reckless driving. The court looked at the plain text of the improper driving statute, which of course does not distinguish between reckless driving by speed or reckless driving generally, and said based on the plain language, the plain and unambiguous reading of that statute, it's very clear that the authority rests with the trial judge and not the jury to make the lesser degree of culpability determination. And in this particular context, the court goes on to talk about the fact that only the trial judge, and this is important, only the trial judge or the prosecutor before the verdict is rendered has the prerogative to reduce a reckless driving charge to improper driving under Code Section 46.2-869. So that portion of the court's decision, of course, does not distinguish between general reckless driving or reckless driving by speed, just says all reckless driving cannot be reduced by the court, by the jury to an improper driving based on the text of the statute, which also doesn't distinguish. So we would argue that that particular portion of the court's decision is controlling and dispositive in this case, and that's at pages 426 through 427, 54 VA App 422. As to the argument as to Powers versus Commonwealth, of course, we've argued on brief, and we continue to submit that that case is quite distinguishable because there was no evidence as to how far above the speed limit Mr. Powers was driving when he had an accident. No one saw the accident, so he may have been driving the speed limit for all anyone knew. Here, by Mr. Blevins' own admission, at the scene of the accident, he was driving at least 75 to 80 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone when he rapidly accelerated because a car was passing him in the middle lane. So that makes this case very distinguishable from Powers and makes him guilty of reckless driving. And if there are no further questions from this court, I will rest on my brief and ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shandle. Ms. Min?
Judge, I don't really have anything to add that I've already said, so I'm going to likewise.
All right. And we'll come down to Greek Council and take up, let's see.